Hi, everyone. Welcome to Matt and Dory's Excellent Adventure. I'm Matt.
I'm Dory.
Oh, boy. We are coming to you in what I would describe as a temperature fluctuating Los Angeles.
Yesterday, the high was 90.
Yes.
Today, the high, I think, was 75. Tomorrow, yes. The high is supposed to be 64 and rainy.
Look, fascinatingly, yesterday it was 87 to 57. It was a 30 degree swing in the day. So if you're up too early, you're dressing incorrectly. You know, it's just, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You just can't layer in a way that is sufficient for this kind of swing.
It's true.
It's wild. It's like I'm ascending Everest, but I'm like, I have to dress, but I'm dressed like I'm at base camp, and then suddenly I'm at like the ice shelf, whatever the heck that is. The what do they call it? I'm at the body with the green boots.
Sure. Yeah. I don't know what that means.
There are bodies up on Everest that like serve as markers.
Oh.
Because it's too hard to remove anything.
I see. Oh, I see.
So people just sort of leave them there.
Right.
Anyway, hope you're all not climbing Everest and having a great time at sea level or thereabouts. What's shaking bacon?
We went away for a night this week.
We had a magical night in Palm Springs.
A magical night where
we're driving out of the restaurant. We both thought it was 10 o'clock, but it was 7:45. It was 7:40.
It was so dark.
We're just like, it's got to be a gajillion o'clock. It's so late. Nope.
Yeah, no.
Does it get dark faster there? No. We just have no... It's hard to keep the barometer of, like, Henry's Bath. Although now, with it getting dark so early, like last night, it got dark, obviously. That's what happens every day, guys. But last night, we put him to bed, and then... You had to bring your father to the airport. And then you came back and we watched Bake Off. And it felt like it was a gajillion o'clock, but it was 8.
It was 8:30.
Still.
Yes, it was not that late.
I mean, I don't know what's happening. I guess we're just old. And you might all find that the older you get, the more you find 5 o'clock an acceptable dinner time. I know I do.
Oh, eating at 5 is the best.
We had a reservation for 8 o'clock, and then Dory was like, I'm gonna keep checking in, see if anything earlier opens up.
It was for 8:30, which is very late.
Could you imagine? Because we already felt like it was 10 at 7:45.
I know, exactly.
Oh my God, we would have been ravenous. And then we watched the National League Division Series Game 5 in the hotel room. And I introduced Dory to the wonders of Max Scherzer.
Oh, my gosh.
And just the passion he plays with.
It was really something.
I think his...
I don't follow baseball closely. I watch, you know, if Matt has the Red Sox on, I'll watch them. But I'm not, like, up on various characters in the baseball world.
Sure.
And as Matt, I think, has said on the podcast, we can't watch the Dodgers because we don't have Spectrum.
Yes. So he was traded over to the Dodgers this summer in July. So he became a hometown pitcher after years in the Nationals system. And before that, he was Tigers and Diamondbacks. So it's no wonder Dory really wasn't up on Max Scherzer, as great as a pitcher as he is. He's a fantastic pitcher, one of the best in the league. But I was like, you know, he plays with the fire of 1,000 suns.
His reaction after the game, I was like, what is up? I said to Matt, I was like, what is up with this guy?
And then I was like, oh boy, well, how can I succinctly put this to you? So then I played Dory this great YouTube video called Max Scherzer is the Biggest Psychopath in Baseball. Which just, you know, it just goes into it. And the funniest clip of that whole thing is him playing catch, warm-up catch.
During Georgetown's
graduation at the Nationals ballpark.
That was hilarious. Also hilarious to me was him pitching with the black eye.
Oh, after he was practicing how to bunt yeah. and broke his nose.
Yeah.
And then refused to not pitch.
Yes.
I also, there's many clips of him yelling at his managers when they come out to take him out of the game and he won't let them.
And then they leave him in.
I wish we could watch the Dodgers. We just don't have Spectrum out here, guys.
Yeah.
It's the only way to watch it. Otherwise, it's blacked out. Thank God, you know, these playoff games are nationally televised.
Yes. Yes. So that was exciting.
Dodgers were robbed. I mean, the Giants were robbed. That check swing, that Wilmer Flores check swing to end the game was just the silliest thing. Any Giants fans out there, I feel your pain. Happened to the Red Sox in the 2016 ALDS. Dustin Pedroia did not swing. It was a check swing called for our last out.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm,
we were bounced mm-hmm. out of the playoffs. So I feel you.
Mm-hmm.
But boy, did Scherzer enjoy it. So anyway, yes. So we did that. We went out of town for one night to celebrate our anniversary, post-anniversary, because Dory's father was visiting.
And very kindly agreed to stay with Henry.
Yep. Henry laid it on real thick for him.
Yeah, he really did.
Saba go home.
Saba going home.
Really, it's very, very sweet, but also very funny.
Saba get on airplane.
Yeah. And then, you know, what's happening? What else is going on here?
Took Henry to see some trains this morning.
We took him to Travel Town, where Dory and I noticed the children were all the same age, and the children that had siblings, the siblings were all exactly as far apart as each other.
Yeah, including friends of ours who we were there with.
Yes. It was like toddler, infant.
Yeah.
Go.
It was kind of crazy.
And Dory and I were, of course, infantless.
Yes.
And, you know, we just watched Henry eat some peanut butter crackers and had to be content with that.
I mean, and
quite frankly, I was.
I was too.
No, I'm just saying. But it was weird.
It was interesting.
It was weird. It was like we went into a nightclub that only allowed three and under. Like all the kids were like the same age.
Yeah.
There weren't any 9-year-olds or 12-year-olds.
Well, I feel like Travel Town is this part of Griffith Park, which is, you know, the big Central Park-esque park here in Los Angeles that has like many things in it. There's a zoo, there's a Museum of the West, there's pony rides, there's two golf courses, there's
the Griffith Observatory.
There's the Griffith Observatory, and there's also this thing called Travel Town, which is basically a decommissioned train yard.
Yeah, and it's got like a lot of the old Union Pacific cars and a few steam engines. And a little, you know, train, I don't know what the scale would be. Maybe it's, you know, like kids can get in and ride it around.
It's free to get in.
And it's exciting for children.
I think it's exciting for like,
but I went
the
in
five
my 20s.
And under set mostly.
Yeah. But I had been there before because I like trains.
Yeah. And I think Henry enjoyed himself.
I think he had a good time. And then he was just kind of over it.
Yeah.
And then we got out to the parking lot and it was a free for all out there. We had parked, you know, we went, I don't know, what time did we get there? Like 10 minutes after the place opened?
We got there at 10:20, I think. And yeah. Opened at 10, I think.
And there was ample parking.
But ample.
When we were walking out.
At 11:30.
It was Mad Max out there.
People were like fighting for spots.
People, like one lady pulls her Prius up, goes, "You guys, where's your car?" We're like, "We think it's over here."
And she's like, "Oh,
okay." And then we were when I was backing out, there was a car that was, I think, going to try to back into our spot
and snake it
as well as the other car.
And there was some honking.
Well, I think the honking was for the car that was going to throw its reverse lights on.
Yes, I agree. I don't think the honking was for us.
Because I was like, is this speed up honking?
No,
that is very rude.
I don't think it was.
We have a toddler.
I think it was like, what are you doing, car?
I'm just, I drove as far away from that as quickly as possible. Yes. Because I didn't want to be involved.
Well, it was a similar situation at the beach yesterday. Henry and my dad and I went to the beach, and we parked at the Annenberg Community Beach House. And we got there at, I want to say, around 9:45.
Yeah.
And there was still ample parking.
Uh-huh.
We left at a little after noon. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it was like people were... And there was a sign outside that said lot full, but there were still many cars trying, like staking out spots.
Well, people got to leave at some point. That's what they were all
saying. And also someone had parked super close to us on Henry's side. So I had to pull the car out to even get him in. And then like there were all these cars just like waiting. And I was like, what am I supposed to do here?
Oh,
it was very annoying.
That has happened before, but I've just gotten him in through the other side. I get in the back.
Yeah, I guess I could have just done that, but...
You wanted to cause a scene.
I did. I wanted to cause a scene, exactly.
Because you wanted your dad to grunt about it in Israeli.
Yeah, and then, my dad couldn't fasten the car seat, so I had to get out and do it. It's a real boondoggle.
She described this morning as a boondoggle. Also, because obviously we went to the wrong train yard. You know, all parks have multiple situations there. We went to Walt Disney's or Railroad Barn mm-hmm. instead of Travel Town. We're very like, where is everybody? Yeah. But I will say the lady that worked there was very nice.
At Travel Town?
Yeah, no, at the...
Oh, at the Walt Disney. Yes, she was so nice. I know. I almost felt bad that we didn't go back.
I'm happy to go back next time.
Yeah. Is it open like once a month?
I don't know. I like vaguely knew in my brain of Disney knowledge that like that barn existed somewhere.
We've looked at that barn on the internet together. I remember it.
Okay. For what? Barn purposes?
I don't know. I think you were just like intrigued.
Interesting. Well, I'm re-intrigued by it. I would like to go again.
Okay.
I mean, it just seems like... There's like this age of children, which I think we're really in now, which just turns into a activity zone.
Every third Sunday, they're open from 11 to 3.
Oh, I didn't realize it was that rare.
Yeah, no, it's pretty rare.
Wow. We should have bounced immediately and gone right over there.
Yeah.
Anyway, like...
It's free.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. If you're in the Los Angeles
informative
area.
Volunteer barn crew members are on hand to describe the history and contents. Ruth did seem informative.
Everybody was very informative.
Yeah.
Everyone across the train community seemed to really know their trains.
Oh, there's a society you can join.
Okay, I'll join it. Thank you, honey. Let's go back to the podcast now.
We have but one requirement as a Carolwood Society member.
Carolwood, that's right.
That you ride the steam train when in a Disney park.
Well, that is like literally my go-to.
I know.
Ride. I'm really a big fan of the Disneyland Railway.
Yeah. Well, anyway,
Disney World is closed.
Back to the podcast.
That railroad, the Disney World Railroad is closed. Mm-hmm, would think they would have like figured out or like... gotten enough people, you know, tried to have it open for the 50th.
Yeah.
You would have thought.
Yeah.
It's very strange to me that they didn't.
Interesting point.
Thank you.
Interesting point.
What else is going on out there?
In the world?
With us.
With us? Not a ton on my end. What about you?
You know, I'm working on some stuff. And, it's your classic, you know, writer situation where you gotta just do a lot of work and maybe get paid or not.
Yep.
Who knows? TBD. So that's where I'd say we're at. TBD.
TBD.
That said, everyone, thank you for listening to the show. Listen and leave your Apple Podcast reviews. Head over to the Facebook.com groups, Excellent Adventure. You can head over to excellentadventure.com or visit our Patreon to support the show. Twitter @ excellentpod, email DoryandMatt@gmail.com. Matt and Dory@gmail.com. Phone number 413-461. Baby, we thrive when you thrive on writing emails. So get to it. We'll be right back.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Are you ready to get active? Well, think Bombas. The better basics that take sweat-wicking, blister-preventing, friction-free movement seriously. Look, they finally admitted it. It's in the ad copy. Golfing is among the activities that Bombas is proud to be a part of. And nearly every time I golf, Bombas socks are a part of my golf game. In fact,
same for tennis, Matt.
I had to wear the high ones today because it was 37 degrees.
Wow. I bet you loved those soft, breathable materials.
I loved literally everything about them, including their fun bluish green color. Look, nice. I've been talking about Bombas forever, guys. Socks, underwear, t-shirts are the number one, two, and three most requested items in homeless shelters. And that's why for every comfy item you purchase, Bombas donates another comfy item to someone experiencing homelessness. Performance socks are made with technically advanced features like proprietary hex tech. Oh, that makes sense now that the hex is stitched in there. Mm-hmm. Oh, it incorporates sweat wicking.
See, the light bulb's
yarns.
Going off.
Supportive strategic zone cushioning, built-in ventilation to increase airflow. Bombas are a gym bag staple that are made to last and a golf bag staple. And if they experience any wear or tear, Bombas will replace them for life. I didn't know that.
Wow.
Hold the phone.
Wow.
But I was like, I got to get some socks replaced. And then I realized none of them are in need of replacement. Their performance socks are very colorful and comfortable, and you want to wear them even when you're not working out or hitting the links. No matter how you like to get active, Bombas has something for you. Gripper socks to help you stay balanced in Pilates and bar, or Dory's dad, whose favorite thing is socks that have grippers on the bottom. Left, right foot contoured running socks give you a perfect fit that won't slide in your shoe. Merino wool socks keep you comfy and supported all day while on the course, baby. Bombas has a 100% happiness guarantee. That means you're covered for life. Reach out anytime. Their happiness team will help facilitate easy returns, exchanges, or replacements. Go to bombas.com/adventure. Use the code adventure for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/adventure and use the code adventure at checkout. We're back.
Hello.
So, it looks like first up on the agenda is some sort of voicemail.
Yes.
That's what it looks like has been programmed in.
Yes, that is accurate.
Show producer and all around co-host, Dory Shafrir.
All right.
Here
well,
we go. Are you ready?
Yes.
I hope so.
Okay, I'm ready.
Go ahead.
Shafrirez, it's Katie Shinden. Matt, I literally had to pause the pod because I was laughing so hard at the preconception room jokes. And I wanted you to know that both times you made the joke, I laughed very hard.
Thank you. Thank you.
Full on belly laugh. And I think that it's hilarious. And I also want you to know that it really touched my heart in a way because I think I've told you about my dad before, but the late Dick Adler, former writer, TV writer, screenwriter, and the kind of joke he would have made and the kind of joke that he would have laughed really hard at today, too, if he were still with us. Love you guys.
Well, that is my kind of phone call in so many in so many ways. First of all, thank you for laughing, because I don't know if you heard, but there was utter silence from my spouse and life partner. She was like, what is he talking about? Oh, that's real dumb. Thank you. I mean, I feel like I've got the right amount. I've got the right material to host Bake Off.
Yes, you definitely do. You definitely, definitely do.
But thank you for calling in with that, Katie. Really, that warms my heart.
I figured you would appreciate that.
I do.
Okay, and then I felt like both of this voicemail and this next email sort of spoke to what you just talked about before the break, which is, you know, the idea of like, as a person working in a creative industry, you often work for no money on things that might or might not happen. Mm-hmm. So we got a follow-up from Anonymous, who emailed us last week about her husband.
Yes, I remember this. Yes.
Who is in a creative industry and is hesitant about having a second child. So Anonymous sent us a follow-up. Hi, Matt and Dory. Just wanted to say thank you for your response on the podcast. What was incredibly helpful and what I hadn't heard before spoken out loud is the fundamental uncertainty that comes with a creative career and how it affects you and you deal with it in similar and in different ways. After your responses, I have more appreciation for the realities of this career. In retrospect, it makes sense, but since success stories are more visible, and I don't know many creative people outside of my husband, you just shed a new and very helpful light on the whole situation.
That's good.
I also really liked your therapy tips, Matt. I already go to therapy myself, though so far I haven't been successful in convincing my husband, but it's a work in progress. Sending you the best of luck to both of you. I can't wait for your next novel, Dory. I love Startup, which actually my husband recommended to me before I found your podcast. And Matt, I hope that your projects work out as well.
Thank you. And I'm glad that we were of some help, because I felt like everything we were saying was like, I bet she's already heard this or thought this.
Well, and I think just as, you know, she has not like been exposed to that many people in creative industries, and so what we were saying was sort of novel to her. We in Los Angeles are surrounded by people in creative industries, and so things that I think we think are sort of like common knowledge are not, in fact, to someone who is not in a creative industry.
Yeah. So, you know, you get like, you know, I worked on a thing for a long time all summer, and then that just sort of disappeared. And then like this other thing that I was semi working on that started to fire back up again. So, you know, it's all like, but of course, it's like, this is the early stages and you don't get paid for any of this work.
Yeah.
This is all the sales pitch portion. I'm just waiting for someone to buy the timeshare. So.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I have no free nights to give away at any hotels.
I was just going
to
say, what's your offer?
Nothing. Oh. That's probably why I'm not selling.
Yep. You need like 4 nights at the Hilton or something.
4 nights at a Hilton Garden Inn?
Yep.
In Massachusetts?
Yep.
All right.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Anonymous, for this update. And like Matt said, I'm glad we were helpful.
Also, the therapy thing, again, I might just like what we said last week, but maybe try to find one super close to your house.
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay.
Okay. This next email is from Christine. Hello, all. I wanted to follow up about the woman who is seeking more community around her infertility journey. I have a friend who has been dealing with similar things. She is the one who introduced the app Marco Polo to me, and now a lot of our friends are using the app to stay in touch. We have several splinter groups on different topics. My husband thinks it's ridiculous, but I love the different ways we stay in touch. Anyway, she started a thread just about her IVF journey where she updates us on doctor's appointments, medicine protocol, and more. We know that all messages on that stream are just about her trying to get pregnant, and she's opened it up to more people she knows who are going through similar things. As friends, she shares how we can be supportive, and it's done a lot for us as well. I don't know if this is an option for her, but it has been a wonderful resource for us. Thanks. That is Christine with 4 kids, 1 husband, 1 dog, a bigger house now, and many hot dogs for the kids.
I really wanted a hot dog today.
Oh.
Travel town. Like, I just felt like it was a hot dog kind of place.
That's interesting. You're not wrong. You know, it was
popcorn and a hot dog.
You know, it was funny yesterday when we were at the beach. My dad was like, "Should we get some lunch, like a light lunch?" And I was like, "You know, I don't know if like Henry was kind of getting like close to nap time." Yeah. I was like, "I don't know if he has it in him to like sit down at the beach cafe and like wait for." Mm-hmm. But I was like, "Why don't you go see if there's like takeout that we could get and maybe just eat it on the beach or something." And he goes and he like sends me, he texts me a picture of the menu and I'm like, nothing looked particularly appetizing. And I was just like, nah. And then he's like, yeah, it doesn't look that great. And then he came back. He was like, I was hoping for like some fried clams or something. And I was like, we're in California.
Yeah, no. It's not going to be a fried clam shack.
It's not that kind of place.
But I'm sure there's like a what do you call it there? Poke. I'm sure there's poke.
There was not poke, but there were, I think there were fish tacos.
Always.
Yep. Which
that's
like
funny. You never can get those in Massachusetts.
No, exactly. Which like if there was anything on the menu that I might have gotten, it would have been those, but they were $22 and I was like, I don't want them that badly.
Are they caught immediately and then
doubtful.
Put right in.
No. Yeah, and like I don't know, I was just kind of like, eh. But yeah, fish tacos are like the fried clams of California beach.
What else was your dad? Your dad was also confused about why he was thirsty.
Yeah, he was like, "I'm so thirsty," and I was like, "Dad, there's like no humidity here."
No, there is. It's 50% usually. It hovers at like 50, which is fantastic for guitars.
I think today I thought that it was. I saw that it was at 23%.
No, it's got to be higher.
Okay,
than
right now it's at 54%.
Yeah,
but earlier I looked and it was 23%.
Well, again, we fluctuate dramatically in humidity, and also that's going to rise until it rains, I assume.
Oh yeah, probably. But right now in New York it's 70% humidity.
Ugh. 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 No.
You know what the humidity in Las Vegas is right now?
2.
11%.
Okay.
I mean, I always feel so dry there.
Well, it is the desert, honey.
It is really the desert.
It is the desert.
I always have to remember to bring chapstick when I go to Las Vegas.
Yep. She brought chapstick to Palm Springs, everybody.
I did.
She did it.
Yep.
Finally. All right. Next email.
Okay. Here we go. This is from Heather. Hi, Matt and Dory. I'm pausing the pod to write in response to the person feeling like she had not suffered enough for a fertility support group. I identified with this person so much. I remember back at the start of this hellish journey feeling as though there was support for couples at the start of trying. There was support for couples who were diagnosed infertile and starting IVF or IUI, but there was no support for those who were in the doldrums of trying to conceive and starting to get tested and navigate all of the gatekeeping from providers at the same time as feeling anxiety about possibly being infertile. I'm now 3 years into my journey and I've gone through 9 treatment cycles between IUIs, FET, ERA, and retrievals. And I can honestly say that the last months of trying to conceive before IVF were just as hard as my worst IVF moments. I remember being anxious and going to an in-person Resolve support group around the time I went to see my RE for the first time. I had my infertility diagnosis, but it was unexplained. I didn't fit into any box and I hadn't started treatments. I felt totally out of place and I was so nervous every time I opened my mouth, I cried. Everyone's stories in this group were so bleak that it made my husband and I more stressed out. I ended up finding a therapist through that support group and started being more active in the Excellent group instead of going to an in-person group. Ultimately, this worked out as the pandemic hit shortly after I tried the in-person group. Even now, I sometimes feel out of place despite having done so many rounds simply because everyone is at a different stage. I try to check in with myself and see if online support feels soothing or not on any given day. I found it overall very helpful, especially in dark moments or in between cycles when I can't do anything but my brain wants to do something proactive for IVF. The online format is great because there's no pressure to participate. All this to say to the person who wrote in, you are not alone. Use a support group when it feels helpful and don't worry too much about being accepted. Chances are you are feeling alienated more than others around you are feeling. Wait. Chances are you are feeling alienated more than others around you are feeling you are out of place. That is from Heather in 1500 square feet in Portland, Maine. No hot dogs since my last email, she says.
I always like when there's a between email.
Yes.
And I get a hot dog update. I like when it's actually like a legitimate, like actually 3 hot dogs because of blah, blah, blah.
Totally. You know, It's so funny. I heard someone DM'd me on Instagram, and I don't think they meant for this to be shared like verbatim on the podcast. So I'm just going to sort of paraphrase it. But they said that they had not dealt with infertility, but they had been diagnosed with cancer, and they had gone through a similar feeling of like, do I have enough cancer to like go to a cancer support group,
right.
You know? And so I do think that this is like a very common thing that people feel, especially women. And this person also noted that you seemed like incredulous that people would feel this way. And she attributed that to, women having this sort of like imposter syndrome.
Yeah, I mean, it's just in regards to the I haven't suffered enough kind of a thing. I was particularly incredulous too. But the idea of like, I for sure get the imposter syndrome stuff.
Yeah.
But I just had never thought to put it into that context. That's interesting.
Well, and I think sometimes people do get into this sort of like competition. I kind of want to put that in quotes, like about, oh, well, you've done 3 rounds of IVF. Well, I've done 7 rounds of IVF. Right. You know what I mean? It becomes like, well, who has suffered the most? And like that can also be so annoying. And so I think that can like gatekeep and keep people out who feel like they don't like deserve to be there because they haven't suffered enough. But like, who is making that call? You know what I mean?
Who's making the gate is open call?
Yeah, well, no, but I'll, yeah, like who's like deciding, well, if you've done 1 round of IVF, then you don't get to come to the support group. But if you've done 3 rounds, you know, or whatever, like it's just all arbitrary. It's like, I think it's a thing where it should be self-selecting. Like if you feel like
obviously
you are part of the infertility community, then you're part of the infertility community. Like,
but then if it's self-selecting, then some people who have self-doubt won't select themselves.
Whoa.
So I just like to get the message out there is that even if you think you might be infertile, you're suffering some of the, you know, psychological ramifications of this whole thing. You know, it's I think everyone listening right now has suffered enough. Mostly from listening to us. Thank you. That is my message. Go forth, and I will see you in the preconception room.
All right. We have another voicemail.
We could take a break, or we could...
No, we're gonna do one more voicemail, one more email, and then we're going to take a break.
Wow. Okay. You have that all planned out.
Yep.
I'm so silly.
Yep.
I don't know.
Listen to your producer.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. All right, here we go. Voicemail time.
Hey, guys. It's Ron from Karen Crow, Louisiana. I was calling in regards to your caller who was afraid of leaving her 14-month-old, her husband pulling out the last minute of going with her for her conference. A, good call on keeping a 14-month-old contained in a hotel room or trying to keep them entertained on the road not being a great idea. Much easier at home if dad's going to be doing it on his own. Also, I think you nailed the nail on the head with the fact that she's not knowing how much she could really use the break and be by herself. Years ago, my wife decided that, I decided, hey, I want a motorcycle instead of the scooter that I got my motorcycle license on. And my wife went, hey, I want to go to a supernatural convention. So we compromised. And she, for the first time, went somewhere by herself as an adult and loved it.
Can you pause it?
She ended up going to 4 different...
I really thought that was going to be... So I drove her on a motorcycle to the supernatural convention. Continue.
Okay.
Supernatural conventions over the years. And she's taken some standalone vacations. The recent one, I'm literally on the way home with dinner for her because she just got back from the airport from going to New York for the weekend for her birthday alone.
Classic story.
It's something she enjoys doing. Dad'll be fine. PlayStation 5 is a lot cheaper than a motorcycle, so I think she'll get off a lot better off. But yeah, that, enjoy your vacation, ma'am. Treat it as a vacation. You'll love it. You'll miss the kids, but then it's even sweeter when you come home to them. This is Ron, Karen Crow, 2,300 square feet.
2,300 kids.
Two adults, a kid, cat, two cats, I'm sorry, a dog, and that's about it.
One
Thanks.
Of those big Mercedes people moving wagons.
I mean, yeah, like what car do they even drive? They must have a passenger van.
Yes, either a passenger van or... They take two cars everywhere?
I bet they have a passenger van.
All right.
That's my guess. Thank you, Ron. You know, you just always... I love your collected wisdom of raising eight children. It's always very helpful. Okay. We got an email from Veronica asking for some travel advice.
Oh, boy.
Hi, Matt and Dora. I know you've given traveling advice before, but as we prepare for our first plane trip with my toddler, I have a couple clarifying questions. One, tell me about bringing a car seat on the plane. Did you gate check it or belt it into the seat for Henry to sit in? How did you get it through the airport? Those things are so giant and cumbersome. I must know, this is my biggest worry. How did you carry that and your luggage and your toddler and stroller? We didn't. I'm sorry if that was
That's
unclear.
That's the answer to you.
We did not bring our car seat on the plane. We checked our car seat.
We gate checked the car seat.
No, we checked.
We regular checked
we
the car
seat.
We
regular checked the car seat.
And then Henry just was seat belted into the regular seat belt situation in the seat.
Which was
which
not ideal.
Which did not really hold the child in. A lot of slipping and sliding.
Yeah.
A lot of, you know, he just wanted to be free.
Yeah.
And roam. So that's the car seat answer.
Two, does every ticket get a carry-on and a personal item?
Yes.
So like my toddler's carry-on could be her diaper bag and I could still have a carry-on also. Yes. And they're often very loose with the, like the carry-on rules for the baby stuff.
The baby accoutrements are often
not like counted. Yeah. So I like... You could probably take, like, the diaper bag might not count. But yes, every ticket does get a carry-on and a personal item. Mm-hmm. Three, when you gate check your stroller, did you put it in a gate check bag? I've seen those and I wonder if they are necessary and or worth the money, or is it normal and acceptable to just hand over the stroller as is?
When we traveled to New York with our regular home stroller, we had the bag to check it.
And it still broke.
The upper baby bag. And it still broke. But because we had it in the upper baby bag.
Well, you were able, I think you were able to fix it.
I fixed it with a screwdriver.
Yeah.
But the whole thing of like having the upper baby bag is that
if it breaks.
If it breaks while it's in there, it's covered under their warranty.
Yeah.
Now, I'm trying to remember what we decided after the fact.
We decided we were idiots for bringing the upper
yes.
baby.
Yes.
It's so
it's
big.
Huge. It's cumbersome. It's ridiculous. But it was helpful in the sense that he was more an infant then.
Yeah.
And the seat worked in the car.
Yes, yes, yes.
Take that up, put it in the car, and
yes.
it became a car seat. So in that sense, it was great. But the answer to that is...
If
it's going to break, it's going to break outside of the bag or in the bag.
I think that's probably true.
But because ours broke in the bag, the piece that broke off was still in the bag.
That's true, too. Yeah.
So I was able to fix it.
So maybe that's a reason to get a bag. I mean, I don't think it has to be like a special stroller bag. And in fact, when we flew last time with Henry, we were going to gate check his travel stroller. But there was no one there to take it and... We were like, oh, whatever, we'll just bring it on the plane because it folds down really small. So we were able to put it in the overhead. And then when we got diverted to Dulles for 5 hours, it was like the best decision we'd inadvertently ever made that we had the stroller with us because
yeah.
we could like contain Henry and just walk him up and down the airport. So yeah, I would say if you're going to bring a stroller, bring a travel stroller and you can gate check it. Four, how did you handle the ear popping thing with a toddler? My ears always hurt a lot in planes, but since my little one doesn't chew gum, I'm not sure how to help her with her ears. Do I remember you or someone mentioning a Binky to make them swallow? Does that work? I think that's it. It was more than a couple. Can you tell I'm stressed about this, especially the car seat thing?
We were not helpful with the car seat thing.
No, we were not. You can give them something to drink, like a if you have like a sippy cup, you can have them drink. You can have them chew on something. It did not seem to be an issue for Henry.
Henry didn't really care. Partially, I think that was because it was the first time we ever really let him have headphones. So he had the headphones on. And I think just the combination of the headphones and stuff, he just kind of was like, oh, this whole thing's new to me.
Yeah, I think that's probably true. I mean, I would say whatever your policy is on screen time, you should get either have them, you know, have an iPad for them. We got a Kindle Fire tablet, a kid's Fire tablet thing for Henry. And like, thank God that
let
we
them
had
know
that.
It's a special time.
Yeah.
You know, and you can maintain your rules once you get to wherever you're going or once you get home.
Yeah. I hope that helps. Veronica is still in about 1,500 square feet with a husband, toddler, and 50-pound dog. No hot dogs for me as a vegetarian, but probably at least 20 between my husband and daughter this year.
Well, thank you for that. Vegetarian hot dogs obviously don't count anyway. So, thank you.
All right, now we are going to take a break.
Be right back.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Oh, boy, oh, boy, we are back, everybody.
Hello.
Oh, it looks like we reached the pumpkin portion of the show.
Oh, yeah.
If anyone out there has any pumpkin opinions, please share them.
Pumpinions?
I will say it has, like, increased my enjoyment of seeing a pumpkin patch somewhere and not being at it. Like, previously, that wasn't a thing that I ever processed. But now, I've seen a couple since we had been to that pumpkin patch last week. And now seeing them, it's like, oh, thank goodness we're not in there.
Mm. Well, do you want to read this next text?
Hi, Matt and Dory. I loved your discussion on pumpkin patches. I live in the South, and it's still pretty warm out. I decided to set up my own display on my porch, so family and family friends take pics in the shade. It cost me $140, so not as cheap, but looks cute all season. Thanks for the pod and all the great British Bake Off and What We Do in the Shadows discussions. Well, thank you.
And then she included some
I'm telling you, there's a couple scarecrows here, some tall stalks of corn, bale of hay, your classic bale of hay, and four colors of pumpkins. I mean, what more could you want?
There were a couple other pictures she included that I didn't put in.
Well, I'm still saying, what more could you want?
Yeah. I mean, that's fair. That's fair. Thank you for sharing that with us.
Yeah, literally. Just put a kid on that bale of hay, take a picture, call it a year.
You're done. All right. This is another text. Hi, Matt and Dory. Just listened to the most recent episode of the pod where you discuss your less than ideal pumpkin patch trip. I, too, used to not see the appeal of pumpkin patches. However, there's a really nice one in Encino that my fiancé and I have been going to since we started dating years ago. If you're interested in giving pumpkin patches another shot next year and don't mind the drive up to the valley, Tapia Brothers Farm is unique in that, even while it is in the city, it still very much has small farm vibes. It's right off the 101 on Havenhurst and Burbank, just south from Balboa Park. We go to Balboa Park sometimes.
That's true.
They have quite a large footprint selling all sorts of pumpkins and gourds. And across the street from the pumpkin wares, they have a large plot of land they farm and grow a massive corn maze every year, which is quite fun to go through. They change the theme of the shapes the maze creates each year, too. They have hay rides, mini train rides, and a petting zoo for kids as
all,
well.
That's all stuff that they were missing. They had a petting zoo, but to me, it looked like a single goat.
Yes. I think only recently did they start charging an entrance fee, but it's like $2. Very affordable. It can be a bit crowded, but it's in a large enough area that it wasn't bothersome. Totally understand if you're more inclined to write off pumpkin patches forever, but if you were interested in giving one another shot, I thought I'd recommend this one. Side note, Tapia Brothers are also open year-round, selling produce from local Los Angeles and Ventura farmers, including my soon-to-be in-laws' avocados from their own farm when they are in season. So check them out if you're ever jonesing for some local produce. Happy autumn and spooky season.
Whoa! Spooky season.
Spooky
would
season.
Would you go to a pumpkin patch in Encino?
Would I personally?
Yes.
Yeah.
Whoa.
I would go. This one actually sounds nice and wholesome. And you know what? I could also see it being a lot more fun when it's not 90 degrees.
And also, like, it did feel like they were just, we felt like cattle.
Yes.
It really was like, we were not people. We were $7 bills.
And they were just like, every single thing was like, they were just trying to milk more money out of you.
You want a wagon to put your pumpkins in? Upcharge. You want a pumpkin? Upcharge.
There was like a VIP ticket you could get that I think was like $60, like to go into a pumpkin patch.
I would have paid $60 to leave immediately. Dr. Bones or whatever the fuck your name was.
All right. Well, we got one more email in favor of pumpkin patches from Irina.
Oh my God. The pumpkin cartel is out in force today.
Who says, hi, Matt and Dory. So first, I got to go back to your last weekend's fall pumpkin patch disaster and argue that actually they are great. Maybe you just had a uniquely LA experience, but I grew up in Florida with Latino parents who had no idea that this was a thing. So, of course, I never got to do fall things. But my husband and I moved to Colorado earlier this year and just went to a local farm that has pumpkins on the vine and a corn maze and kids' activities and some baby animals. And it was truly amazing. Okay. I just want to pause here and say you went to a farm that had pumpkins on the vine. You didn't go to a fake pumpkin patch in a freaking parking lot.
You didn't go to a dirt pumpkin. Dirt?
With a bounce house.
That had the bare minimum of hay covering the ground.
Literally the bare minimum.
And a couple of inflatable things.
And
one,
a goat.
One goat. And a lot of people trying to Instagram.
And $15 per person to get in.
That's how much we paid for that?
Yes.
Did Henry cost money?
No. Whew. But still. I mean, and $10 for parking.
That's so true. It was $10
for
parking.
It was such a ripoff. Okay. Anyway, maybe it's the fact that it was an actual farm and pumpkins were in the field. Yes.
Yes.
That is exactly why. And you could just calmly walk around and stay distances from others and explore, or maybe just that it wasn't as hot, though it was 70, or just the fact that we were very excited for it. But we had a fantastic time. After being a bit shy and scared at first, our 18-month-old had a great time wandering through the pumpkin fields, and then he absolutely loved meeting baby goats and pigs and cows, and I think he legit had a happiness heart attack running through the little hay maze in the kids section at the end. Well, did you have to pay $5 extra to go through the hay maze?
Because let me tell you, there's a place where you could pay $5 extra to go sit on hay. It's in Culver City, California.
So don't discount fall activities, but maybe you just got to do them in states with actual fall climates. Yes, that's what I said.
I think that's the key.
Anyway, my question to you is this. How do you have fun during the holidays when it's just the three of you as a family? Last year, when we were still in Florida, we were able to see my parents for the holidays since they were in our COVID bubble, and we even safely saw my husband's dad, who lived just a few hours away. This year, it seems nobody wants to visit us. His dad is saying he moved to Florida so that he never has to experience the cold again. My husband's family is from Chicago, so unwilling to visit us for Thanksgiving or Christmas, even though we invited him. I love boomers who just are just like, no, this is my life now.
Well, I think that's how they were with the planet. And here we are.
Ooh.
That's why it's real hot down there, guys.
And my parents came to visit in September, but my dad doesn't like flying, so they don't want to drive here in the winter because of the roads. So it looks like it's just us. Granted, my husband's aunt is nearby, and her husband have been amazing secondary grandparents to our toddler. They babysit occasionally, and I'm sure will want to spend the holidays with us. Well, I don't know. Don't be so sure. All these other people said no. I'm just kidding. I'm sure they will want to. But it's not the same without our actual grandparents, you know? My husband also lost his mom over a decade ago, and Christmas was her favorite holiday. He wasn't feeling Christmas in Florida last year, but is super excited this year to have our first white Christmas, hopefully, with our baby.
It will be, knowing the climate.
So I want to make things special for him. So how do I and we do that? We can't depend on his aunt fully because she's also got her own life. So what do we do if it's just the three of us for this holiday season and the foreseeable future? Thanks, as always, for the great podcast. Irina in Denver, living in a 1,400 square foot split level house with a husband, toddler, border collie, and two cats. We're vegetarians, so our hot dog count is invalid, but boy, did we have plenty this summer.
Well, I think, first of all, you guys should each choose a shopping day and make the other one stay home with the kid on that shopping day. That'll be a nice escape into the holiday frenzy of shopping for Christmas. But, you know, look, the holidays can be tough. I think with three people, it's sort of easier in some ways because you're not worried about, you know, there's only three opinions that matter in that case, not 17. Mm-hmm. You're not worried about drudging up mm-hmm. annoying things about each other or mm-hmm. whatever. And what's nice about the family, it seems like right now you get to fucking make up your own Christmas traditions.
Yeah.
But there'd be things I would check in with your husband about, like real tree, fake tree. If it's a real tree, then make a holiday thing over getting the tree. You know, go out to a lot or a farm and maybe bring a saw and cut down a tree. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Colorado seems like it could easily provide that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I mean, what are you missing? I'm going to say you're missing an annoyingly complicated meal that takes forever to cook and is a pain in the ass to clean up. Other than that, you can FaceTime and argue with your parents.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that wasn't helpful. Do you have anything, Dory?
No, I was just going to say, like, making your own traditions is kind of fun. And then they become traditions.
Yes. We here don't know. Every year we have the question of, like, do we go away? And then I'm always like, I don't want to be away on Christmas because I want to be home. And Christmas rolls around and I'm like, what are we doing here? But that said, you know, I like to watch them up at Christmas Carol every year and so on and so forth.
I like to make a nice Christmas morning breakfast.
That's a thing we never did in my house. We never were like a big Christmas breakfast.
Okay.
There was certainly a Christmas lunch/dinner.
That's why we're making our own traditions.
No, I'm just saying, I see a lot of people, that's like a thing.
Mm.
I wasn't criticizing your breakfast need. I was just discussing my own youth.
Like, I believe last year I made a French toast casserole.
You did. I ate most of that. I remember it now.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking about it just as we speak. It stayed in the fridge for a while, and I was like, I guess I'm going to go for it.
It was pretty good.
There were some pecans in there. It was a good time.
Yep. I made cinnamon rolls, I think, the year before, and I did not love how they came out. But I would be willing to give cinnamon rolls another try.
Maybe you forgot the flour.
That's a Great British Bake Off reference. Anyway, I hope this helps. I would love to hear from other listeners about their, like, small family Christmas traditions, or if you are a single person and you have your own Christmas traditions, I'd love to hear those too.
I assume becomes an immense stress reduction, you know?
Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to end things with this email from Helen. Hi, Matt and Dory. I know you don't do a lot of the ads now, especially for the UK, but both ad breaks for me were advertising a Best Things to Do at Disney podcast. I don't need that. I listen to the Disney portion of the show every week. Much more likely to trust your opinions than some random British lady that may or may not be being paid by Disney. I know Matt used to get paid by Disney, but that's different. Also, for the bake-off portion of the show, the bakers this year are much better than last year. Almost like most of them were stuck at home for 18 months and got time to practice. Anyway, love to all from a place where we get an actual autumn. Helen, no hot dogs because I prefer sausages.
That's an interesting point regarding the Bake Off this year having been post-pandemic, post-lockdown.
Someone, was it Chigs?
Yes.
They said
they've been baking for 12 months.
Yes, they've been baking for 12 months. So that must have been a thing they picked up during the pandemic.
Right. And then I think everybody in the last one had no practice time.
Right.
That's why they sucked.
Yeah. We've solved it. In read the ads thing, you know, all I can say is use that fast forward button.
Also, all I can say is that ad seems on point.
Yeah. So
for our show, meaning like.
Yeah. Like there's probably a reason why it's there. And also like. This podcast is free. We have ads so that we can keep it free.
Oh, but and like, she's that, by the way, let me just come at it from where she's coming at it from. She's not criticizing us for having ads
at all. But she's complaining about the ad that was run.
Which is, I get it. What she's saying is, you guys are all the Disney I need. Why would the algorithm
and I'm
think
saying,
I need more
just
Disney?
Just fast forward.
Well, I'm taking it in a much lighter tone. And what I'm saying to you is, I think this British lady you're talking about is probably being paid big, big bucks by the mouse. Don't listen to anything she says. She's probably going to be like, get Genie Plus and also stay at one of our hotels for more than two nights.
Mm, interesting.
That was neither British nor Mickey.
Nope.
But yeah. We have a weird podcast. Okay.
Yep. You know, our podcast is free, but we do have a Patreon where people do pay us money
to listen to an ad-free version.
To an ad-free version
podcast.
Twice
it's not a
month.
A version of this show. It's
a different
both
podcast.
Both of us discussing
various
whatever.
Things. A lot of life advice on that podcast, I feel like.
I feel like we're life advice machines.
Yeah. That's true.
Someone please advise us on our lives. Thank yes. you.
So you can support us there at patreon.com/excellentventure. No Disney ads whatsoever on the Patreon.
But there is a Disney portion over there sometimes.
There
so
is, yes.
You can't get away from it.
And there's also a back catalog of Patreon episodes. So if for some reason you want
to listen to hundreds of hours of us, it's
yes.
available for you there. And everybody at the $5 level or above gets your name read on the podcast each month as a thank you. So let's thank them. Katie Regan, thank you.
Kelly Zimmerman.
Carrie Mills.
Carrie L.
Kim Mestry.
Kristen Young.
Christine Kelly.
Christopher Fonegi.
Kinsey Hamilton.
Lane and Kate Sepala.
Laura.
Laura Bennett.
Laura Dodge.
Laura Madge.
Lauren Gregory.
Lauren Schultz.
LFB.
Liesel.
Lindsay Gish.
Lisa Travis.
Liz.
Lynn Nugent.
Madeline McCarthy.
Mail.
Mara Foss.
Marina Breed.
Martin Hediger Peterson.
Mary Messick.
And the boomer herself, Mary Myra.
All right. Thank you all.
Just kidding, Mom. You didn't ruin the planet. But most of your generation did. That's not on you. You know, you tried your best. You're a wonderful nurse and mother. Love you. Bye.
All right. Bye.